Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
Ladies and gentlemen, your attention, please.
Hello, is this a Mr. McMurray?
Synchronize your watches.
I don't know how to do that.
I don't wear a watch.
I thought I was losing my mind. What the heck? Is that Pete?
Here's Pete McMurray on 720 WGN.
Happy Monday, everybody. I feel like I haven't missed a beat. I've been here all weekend long. I was at the Blackhawks convention, but how about a big round of applause? Look who is back from Turkey. There she is.
Thanks.
How was your trip?
It was great. I went to France for the first time and Paris. And I also saw my family, so it was a nice refresher.
So you just missed John. John Williams is on his way to Paris today. And you just missed John.
I know.
Wow. Okay. Is it good to be back, or is it like, oh my God, I'm back in Chicago?
Well, looking out the window, yeah, the answer would be, oh my God, I'm in Chicago. But it's good to be back. You know, my friends and my close friends are here, and some of my family is in Chicago, a few people.
Okay.
So
you had a great trip.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, thanks.
Lauren, why are you wearing glasses today?
Well, every so often my eyes are quite dry, and I blame a bit of blue light since we look at computers all day.
Oh, come on!
They actually help. I find that my eyes feel a little bit better when I wear them.
And I feel like every time we have food coming in, Kleppen, you're here.
True.
Yes.
I can't deny that.
Food or booze, you're always near me. I like that.
Yeah, it's the stuff. That's the stuff right there.
Anybody hit the Blackhawks convention this weekend? Lauren, were you there?
Well, we were there on Friday for the show, so lots of fun.
I did a drive-by on Friday. I saw Kevin Powell in, was he wearing a suit?
He was. He was all dressed up looking snazzy.
I don't think he had a tie. Was he wearing an ascot? Am I wrong on that?
What is that? I don't even know what that is.
The ascot. It's a scarf around his neck instead of a tie.
He might have been for a little bit now that you mention it.
I walked past and I just couldn't keep my eyes off Kevin because he had the best posture I think I've ever seen. And he was in a suit and I did a double take and I had to run somewhere else because, you know, that weekend you're just running around all over the Hilton. And it's like, oh, my God, I think I just saw Kevin Powell in a suit.
I know. He was very well behaved.
Interesting. All right. You guys sounded great on Friday. I heard Rocky. Andrew Shaw was on. I was there on Saturday. I had Alex DeBrinket. He stopped by. He wears the number 12 sweater. This kid he looks like he just got his driver's license. That's the thing with the Blackhawks. Even Andrew Shaw, who's in his lower 30s, these guys look so young.
Yeah.
So
well, it
young.
Is a fairly young team, but yeah, even the ones that are older look young, you're right.
Man.
And kind of short, some of them.
Alex DeBrinket is probably 5'6", I want to say.
Yeah, I'd say that's about right.
But,
skates, they had a few inches.
They do. And, DeBrinket, I want to say his first year, he had around 27 or 28 goals, and then last year he had 41. This year, they're expecting a lot from him, so that's good. There was a different energy there this year at the Blackhawks convention. I felt like everybody was super pumped for the season. The players were so happy to see each other. We didn't have that last year. I think this year is going to be different. I feel like we're going to be off to a quick start.
Oh, yeah. I think we have a lot of hope, especially after how we ended last season. Obviously, the beginning was very discouraging. But the fact that we almost still made the playoffs, and now we had a lot of really good off-season moves in terms of people that we've gained, there's a lot to be excited about.
I talked to a lot of the players about that, and they said the exact same thing. They're going to try to capitalize on that, and they're very happy to see each other and have some drinks.
It's a great organization. Everyone is so good to each other. I love the Blackhawks.
I've said this from day one. I'm telling you, all those guys in the front office, the men and the women, Pete Hassan stopped by on Saturday morning just to say hello, brought his baby by and his wife, Kate. I mean, it's such a family atmosphere, that entire organization. And all they want to do is win. They want to make the fans happy, and they want to win, and that's what they're focused on this season. And Chris Chelios stopped by on Saturday. By the way, when I was talking to Alex DeBrincat Saturday morning around 10 a.m., there was about 150 people just watching me and Alex talk. Saturday morning. And then Chelios gets up there, and it's just a sea of people. This guy, a Hall of Famer, Chicago guy, could not have been nicer to every person. He signed every single autograph. That's what the convention is all about, bringing back these old-timers, these Hall of Famers like Chris Chelios, and the city just embraced them. I can't say enough about that convention. If you've never made it, you need to go at least once to experience it, because it's like nothing you've ever experienced.
Yeah, it's unlike anything in sports. There's nothing that can compare.
And I talked to Zach Smith, who came from Ottawa. He's a new player this year. He's the center that's going to fight. Okay, that's what we needed. We got a guy that can fight. And he came from Ottawa, and he's like, I'm blown away by this whole weekend. Just yesterday, when they introduced the players on Friday, he was talking about that. He said, I couldn't believe it. I mean, this is why it's great to be in Chicago. And I asked him, as an opposing player, what was it like coming to Chicago? Because you don't really hear that from opposing players. And he said, I would walk on the ice and make sure that I paid attention to the national anthem as a visitor. And I'm like, wow, that says it all right there. And now you're going to be donning the Blackhawks sweater. So that is very cool. That is Zach Smith, new guy that we got from Ottawa. I also hosted a cancer fundraiser at Navy Pier Saturday night. You guys listen to this, okay? Navy Pier, it's called the Goombay Bash. It's named after a drink in the Caribbean. It's a cancer fundraiser for the Lurie's Cancer Center at Northwestern University. And in one night, we raised $742,000.
Wow.
Whoa.
That's impressive.
And congratulations.
$742,000 in one night. Crazy. Wow. And the cancer stories. Everybody's got a cancer story. I mean, you're laughing, you're crying, and then you raise all this money at the end, and everybody's hugging each other. I mean, it's just wonderful. And they had the guy, they had the doctor, Dr. Leon Platanius, who is the cancer doctor, and he's the guy that goes to work every day and breaks down these cells and tries to find cures for cancer. And he got up and spoke to the crowd, and everyone's staring at him, and then he gives out his cell phone number, and he says, if you need help with anything, if you know someone with cancer, if you have a question about cancer, if you just want to talk, here is my cell phone number. Call or text me anytime. I'm like, wow, that's truly unbelievable. That just doesn't happen. Just crazy. So $742,000 at the Goombay Bash.
That's a cool name, too.
And by the way, you know, you go to these galas and you have to wear suits and dresses. They make this, it's the anti-gala where people show up in Hawaiian shirts and shorts. So everybody's in comfortable gear. It's very nice.
Awesome. And summery.
And Navy Pier, and they ended so you can walk outside and watch the fireworks and have some drinks.
Perfect day for it, too. It was nice and warm. Probably a really nice night.
Can we talk about the heat for a second over the weekend? It was 142 degrees on Saturday.
No.
It felt like it in the sun.
Oh,
I feel
it was so hot on Saturday. Saturday was hot.
It was hot, but look. We've had about a month of actual summer here.
Right.
And it's always raining. Hello.
Okay. Well, I need this for my lawn, just an FYI.
That's nice.
But after this weekend of heat, I walk in the office today, and Elif has a heater blowing on her face.
Well, you felt my fingers. They're freezing.
I mean, you have a heater blowing on your face in the office. I'm like, oh my God, I can't escape the heat anywhere.
However, it's true. The hotter it is outside, the colder it is here, and it's brutal.
I love it.
As hot as it is outside is how cold it is inside.
Oh, that's why I like to crank down. I'm glad we're all in different rooms. Lauren's down the hall. Elif is in another room right next to me. And I have my own room. I want to be able to hang meat in here. That's how cold I like
no,
it. You
no.
have a heater blowing in your face in the office. I have a fan blowing in my face when I go to bed every single night. Even in the dead of winter. Yes.
Oh my gosh.
Wow.
Well, you're lucky that you run hot, okay? Thanks for rubbing it in.
I have a cardigan sweater I can't take off, by the way.
What?
I'm Lebanese, the cardigan sweater.
Okay.
I'm insulated. That's what's going on.
All right.
And when you heard about the alligator story this weekend, what did you guys first think?
The new alligator story?
The new alligator story. I think his nickname is Second Chance.
That's didn't cool. believe it for a second.
I didn't believe it
I didn't
for
either.
One second. No.
We're all on the same page.
Two guys picked up the alligator Saturday night at 9:30 and said, you know, we got another alligator. And they separated the two guys, apparently, and the cops talked to them, and they had conflicting stories. And we still don't know, do we? So we're going to talk to one of the reporters who covered this, Mina Bloom from Block Club Chicago. She's been covering this story over the weekend. We'll talk about that next on 720 WGN. Pete McMurray in for John Williams, 720 WGN. If you missed the story over the weekend, we don't know if they actually caught an alligator or if it was a hoax. On the phone with us, she's been covering the story all weekend long from Block Club Chicago. It is Mina Bloom. Mina, thanks for joining us.
Thanks so much for having me.
When you first heard about this alligator story, your first reaction, what did you think?
you know, I just wanted to know if it was the real thing or not. So my reporter instinct kicked in, and you know, I got to work trying to verify that this really happened. And to this, you know, right now, we don't know. After a couple of days, we do not know if this actually happened or not.
Now, did this all start with a police report or something posted on Facebook? That's a little fuzzy to me. How did this all start on Saturday?
So I had actually received a message from a source at the boathouse, the Humboldt Park Boathouse, where the Humboldt Park Lagoon is. And he had told me that someone was claiming to have caught another alligator. But then about an hour later, there was a Facebook video that surfaced. And that video showed a group of men, one of them holding an alligator, and they were all kind of talking about how, you know, it's not over. There's another alligator that was caught. Then there were another couple videos that were that came out afterwards. But the Facebook video started to make the rounds, and so that's those two things combined. You know, people started to catch wind of it.
Was there any witnesses watching these guys grab the alligator, or they just have video of the alligator outside the lagoon?
There's no witnesses, so that's part of the problem right now. I actually talked to the top spokesman for the Chicago Police Department this morning.
Anthony.
And he said, you know, the problem right now is there are no witnesses, so there's no one to either corroborate their story or refuting their story right now. They just do not know if the alligator was actually found in the lagoon or if it was brought there. So that's the issue. I should also note that there are no cameras facing the lagoon. There are cameras in Humboldt Park, but there are none facing the lagoon over there. So that is making it challenging for police as well.
Well, you would think that would change after I can't even think of the first alligator's name. Chance the Snapper. After the
Chance
the Snapper incident, now this alligator was nicknamed Second Chance on Saturday. Is that right?
this is the first time hearing of it, but I love that.
So we had Alligator Bob, who was trying to catch Chance the Snapper. Then they bring in Frank Robb, who is the expert from Florida. And of course, this guy does this for a living, and he caught the alligator in a day and a half. But these two men claim that they almost caught Chance the Snapper. Is that right?
They're claiming that, yes.
I mean,
they also, Anthony, the police spokesman, you know, he said that these men had actually been in contact with Frank Robb over social media. So that's important to note during the hunt and since the hunt. So they had been going back and forth with Frank Robb on social media.
It's just so odd to me that all of a sudden this video surfaces on Facebook and these guys, I think they're doing it for the glory. I don't know. It just seems a little fishy to me. But didn't they separate the two guys that caught the alligator and they had conflicting stories?
Yes. So they did give conflicting stories on the scene to police, and they were taken into custody and questioned, but they have since been let go, so they are no longer in custody. And again, you know, Anthony is telling me, you know, we really don't have anything to hold them on right now. We don't have any evidence either way. So they're hoping that they get some new leads and they can figure out if this alligator was actually caught in the lagoon or if it was not.
And how big's the alligator?
About 3 feet long. So it is smaller than Chance the Snapper. Chance the Snapper was 5 feet 3 inches long. And actually, Frank Robb, the guy that you mentioned who caught Chance the Snapper, he's the Florida trapper.
Right.
He had said that the second alligator is a juvenile and that he couldn't have been in the lagoon for any period of time. Those were the words that he used. So that's coming from an expert.
Why is that? Because he would have died? How does that work?
Because, you know, I don't have the exact answer, but you know, that's because he's a juvenile, because he's very young.
So if this is a hoax, what could they get charged with?
That's a great question. I, you know, at this point, we don't totally know because, you know, it depends on what the charges are, right? Like if they are charged with housing an alligator illegally, it'll be a different charge than if they made false statements to police or if they're charged with both. It's just unclear at this point, and there are no charges, and they are not in custody. So, you know, those things would have to be.
I don't understand where people are getting all these alligators. I assume that the first one was a baby alligator that some drunk guy brought back from Florida and it grew up and then they just threw it in the lagoon. But where are you getting a 3-foot baby alligator?
Yeah, that's a great question. You know, I think that people do keep them as pets illegally everywhere. And as to where they get them, gosh, I mean, I think that there are sort of like black market ways to get animals like that, but I don't exactly know. I mean, there's no, I don't believe there's any store you can walk in Chicago and buy an alligator outright. So it would have to be done through some sort of backdoor deal.
Well, maybe they brought it over state lines. There's got to be something with that. But let me go up to the newsroom and ask Steve Bertrand. Steve, they could be charged for disorderly conduct, maybe, or filing. I guess they didn't really file a false report. They didn't really talk to anyone.
No,
just a general nuisance.
For making a false statement to police.
Right. If they talked to police and their stories didn't line up, someone's not telling the truth there.
Got it. Okay. Mina, thank you so much. You can check out Mina Bloom in Block Club Chicago. We appreciate your time, and this is just a crazy story. Who has time to pick up an alligator, take it down there, and post it on social media? I mean, I wouldn't have time to do that. It's interesting. Thanks.
Yeah, no, you're right. I mean, it's interesting, especially considering we had, you know, the media frenzy over Chance the Snapper.
Right.
And now we have this second alligator. But, again, nothing has been verified at this point.
Got it. All right. Thanks so much. Thank you, Mina. That is Mina Bloom from Block Club Chicago. 312-981-7200 is our phone number. Larry, you had a comment about the alligator?
Back when I was in high school, and my parents had a place up on the Fox River in Wisconsin, and I was in my dad's boat with my girlfriend, and she said, "Watch out for the log," and I went to go around the log, but the log went around me. So I went back to the house, and I got my dad's .22, and I shot him, and my dad wound up just throwing him in the garbage can. This is around 57, 58, somewhere around there.
1957, you killed an alligator where?
On the Fox River up in Wisconsin. Up where Route 50 makes the bend.
I know exactly where you're talking about, but why was there an alligator in the river?
Well, somebody probably, just like this, got too big, and they threw it in the river.
Threw it in the river. But,
yeah, nobody swam that summer.
Yeah, no one did after that. Thank you, Larry. Have a great day.
Okay. Yeah, good day, mate.
All right, 312-981-7200. I just got a great text about filing a false police report. Where is it? Ask Jesse Smollett. Okay, he didn't get charged, did he? 312-981-7200 is our... Didn't realize that we'd have this much alligator talk.
We love the alligators.
Text message 312. It's been such a hit, I think they should stock the lagoons every summer with gators and then have a roundup in the fall.
We should do a Where's Waldo? Just pick a different lagoon.
It brought the city together, didn't it?
That was a great summer story.
It really was. Here's one for you. 815. Maybe they ordered the gator in the mail like Beaver and Wally did with Captain Jack. What was Captain Jack? And Leave It to Beaver. I don't remember that.
I don't remember that either.
Okay. All right. Let's go to Ron. Ron, you're on WGN. Hi.
How you guys doing?
Good, man. What's up?
I have a theory. The two guys that supposedly found the one yesterday are the ones that released the original one. And if you did DNA tests, I bet you they come from the same litter or same family or something.
It's not a bad idea.
So they saw all the press that the first one got, how happy it is. Listen to you guys talking about how it brought the city together.
Yes.
Well, those guys missed out on their 20, you know, their time of 15 minutes of fame. Now they want it.
Yes, I think so. I think that's why they're doing it. Thank you, Ron. Let's go to David. David, you're on WGN. Hi.
How you doing?
Go ahead, man. What's up?
Yeah, as soon as I saw that picture, I was thinking, who in their tackle box has electrical tape? Because wasn't his snout wrapped in electrical tape?
It was wrapped in black electrical tape. You're right. Did they have...
And who would have that in their tackle box?
Maybe it was in their trunk. Who knows?
But it just seems kind of strange.
Well, there's so many holes in this story. You're right. I feel like it's a hoax, but yeah. Thank you. Let's go to Tom. Tom, you had a comment about the alligator?
Yeah, there was a question on how do alligators get into Chicago, and I remember being a little boy in the 50s. My dad drove a banana truck, and every once in a while I'd go on his route with him, and we'd inevitably have two or three baby alligators who were living within the banana bunches, and we would take them off to the Brookfield Zoo. Yep. So bananas come into Chicago, but mainly, I guess, from South America, and in those shipments usually are lots of little baby alligators.
Are you kidding me? Really?
No, seriously.
And they still ship them up through trucks? I feel like times have changed.
I'm assuming that what they do, they come on ships, and they're probably now in containers. And then those containers contain 40,000 pounds of bananas, and I'll bet you maybe a dozen or so of little alligators in there.
You never know. So, it's a theory. Yeah. Thank you, Tom. Appreciate the call. 312-981-7200. I feel like things have changed, though, since the 50s, the way that we ship things. Okay? Ella, if you have some music for us?
Peter, I'm told.
Yes?
There was an entire Leave It to Beaver episode about when the kids got a baby alligator.
Oh, okay. Good to know. All right.
And it was awesome.
Elif, what are we playing here? What is this?
This is Chance the Rapper from his new album and his first album, The Big Day. This is the title song of his first album. It was released on Friday, and along with it, a new exhibit opened celebrating Chance's success. It's called The Big Store, and it's south on Michigan Avenue.
Do we know where Chance the Rapper went to high school?
Jones College Prep.
Jones College Prep?
Yeah.
So right downtown here?
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Okay. Is this the clean version, just in case?
Yes.
Okay, does he swear in songs? I don't know if I've ever...
Most of them, yeah.
Okay. He's great in the Doritos commercial.
Oh my god, I loved that. That was so good.
Yeah, he's
good at everything that he's invited to do.
He's such a likable guy, and he gives back to this city. Now, where's the exhibit again?
It's south on Michigan Avenue, close to Museum Campus.
Okay. And was he at Lala last year or 2 years ago? He's been
probably
Lala recently.
He's been so many times, like as a guest, mm-hmm. as this, as that. So I don't know.
If I was a musical artist, I'd come back to Chicago during the summertime. I know that's prime tour time, but I'd take some time off and I would just walk on stage with artists that I'd love at Lollapalooza or anywhere in Chicago.
For fun.
I mean, the Rolling Stones. If they brought Chance the Rapper up on stage, people would have went crazy.
Mm-hmm, I know.
Daryl Jones playing bass. He's been with the Stones. He's a Chicago guy. The crowd went nuts. I'd love seeing that. Have you ever been to a show where a big artist walks up on stage and plays here in Chicago?
I haven't. Actually, wait. Before he got really big, Chance, Childish Gambino was performing at my school when I was in school.
What?
And
wait
yeah,
a second. Childish Gambino, Donald Glover, who's the headliner at Lollapalooza, was playing at your school.
Yeah.
And Chance walked up with him?
Yeah. That wow. This was 7 years ago, just about.
Just 7 years ago, and now they're some of the biggest acts on the planet.
I know.
Wow. That's pretty crazy.
Mm-hmm.
Did you know at the time that these guys are going to be pretty big? They're pretty good.
Yeah, I knew. I knew Chance was going to be huge.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. Donald Glover, are you going to go see him? You're going to Lala this weekend, right?
I am. I do want to see Childish Gambino. It's just hard because Tame Impala is one of my other favorite bands.
I don't even know what that means. What is
They're also headlining the same day and on opposite ends. They're like a mile away from each other.
Well, that's Grant Park. I tried to explain this to people on the air over the weekend. Just imagine a football field and their stages set up. There's two big stages on the end zones, and then you have stages in between. As you walk down the middle, a stage on the right, stage on the left.
You get tired going from one end to the other.
That's what it is. And you would think that some of the sound would drown out other stages, but it doesn't the way they have it set up.
Right.
So are you there Thursday or Friday?
I'm going all 4 days. I'm covering it for WGN.
Are we going to see each other at Lollapalooza?
We might.
Are we going to hang out?
We can. Otherwise, I'm going to be walking around alone.
You're going by yourself? You don't have a wingman?
I have a few friends that are going that I'm going to meet there. Okay. You can be one of those friends.
I'll be there. Okay. I'll be there with a buddy. I'm going with one guy on Thursday and two guys on Friday.
Okay. Cool. Well, I'm just going to...
Would it be weird us hanging out at Lollapalooza outside the station? Because we've never really hung out outside the station. It's always weird to see people outside their environment.
I don't think it matters. I mean, you're there for the same reason to see bands play.
But I'm a lot more fun outside the station. I try to keep it reserved as I'm
really?
Here. Yes, I am. Yeah. Festival season. Do you go to a lot of festivals?
Like Wicker Park Fest, that kind of thing, or these big ones?
The big ones.
Some of them, but no, not a lot.
Researchers at the University of Manchester, University College in London, and Lund University in Sweden attended different music festivals in England. During these events, they interviewed a bunch of people, they passed out questionnaires, and guess what they found?
What?
Many festival goers pack soap, shampoo, towels with full intentions of washing up over the weekend, and they didn't even touch it.
Oh, so those are the kinds where they camp out at night?
Yes. Or they go to a hotel. Most people didn't shower.
That's just rancid.
Because they felt like they were wasting time and it was a breach of social contracts with friends. We're going to go home and sleep. We're going to get back here right when the gates open in the morning.
I feel like I could have guessed that based on some of the people I've rubbed shoulders with at festivals.
Oh, man.
A shower takes 5 minutes.
You would think, but people don't like the shower. Now, I want you to look around this weekend when you're at Lollapalooza, you're going to notice that there's going to be a lot of people that aren't showering.
I'm going to be hyper aware of that.
What do you call the places that you can stay, where you can sleep on a bunk bed in a big room with a lot
hostel?
Of other... A what?
Airbnb? Hostel?
Hostel, yes. Okay. A lot of hostels. People are staying at hostels this weekend for Lala.
Well, so, that's probably smart because they don't have to... You can't Uber. You physically can't Uber. You can't drive a car in that.
Right.
So it's either that or public transportation.
But they stay at the hostel and they just sleep there and then they, you know.
And they stink. yeah, okay.
I mean, it's pretty ripe. Lauren, have you been to Lala?
No, purposely not.
I've been, now listen, just for the record, I am in the adult section. I'm not hanging out with the teenagers, okay?
I'm in half-naked teenagers?
Yes, I'm in the adult section, and my festival wear is a pair of shorts and a t-shirt. That's
See,
all I'm wearing.
As a super short person, a lot of concerts like that are not exactly enjoyable for me because I can't see anything.
You are not that short.
5'3 is kind of short.
You wear heels.
To a concert? That sounds awful.
You look taller in real life. Well, I didn't realize that you were 5'3".
She does.
But they do have adult sections that are on risers overlooking the teenagers. So you get two shows. You can see the stage and you can see the teenagers, if that makes sense.
Okay, but then what about all the adults standing in front of me in the adult section?
I think they're pretty chill. I mean, they'll let you move around if you're height challenged like you are. Absolutely. And the only time that people, that it's super, super crowded is the headliners.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
I mean, Bruno Mars, by the way, Bruno Mars last year, I didn't realize that he is 2.5 feet tall.
Oh, yeah. He's super short.
He was wearing a Scottie Pippen jersey. I'm like, is that one of his dancers? Bruno Mars is, how tall is he? 5'1"?
I think he's 5'4", actually.
Really, Lauren?
Maybe in heels.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure I've heard that before. Let me look.
Him in real life. I mean, he looked like a little person. Like he was on The Wizard of Oz. I'm not kidding.
Okay.
This says 5'5".
Come on. He is not 5'5". The guy can dance and he can sing.
Very talented guy, yeah.
But my point is, the headliners, that's the only time it's super, super crowded. So you're going to walk around and you'll see other bands and, you know, you're going to be able to watch.
So my first year ever going to a concert, like a rock one and a Lollapalooza, was Radiohead, actually, I think 11 years ago now. And this guy standing next to me, when the song came on that we had previously discussed for like 2 seconds, put his hand on my shoulder and started jumping. So he was using me for support.
That's how it is. Yeah.
Yeah.
Everybody's happy.
Mm-hmm.
And was y'all hopped up on Molly?
I don't know. I was 16.
You weren't, because you're straight-laced, right?
Correct.
But, I mean, when you know what's great about Lollapalooza? It's live music on the lake, and it's going to be sunny and 80, and it's not going to rain this weekend, and it's just going to be perfect. That's what's great about Lollapalooza.
Knock on wood.
I don't know any of these bands. I just show up because I love live music and drinking beer out in the sun. I ran into Post Malone last year, who was great. My son loved him. He's like, Dad, you got to go see Post Malone. I go, I don't even know who that is. Saw him in concert. Fantastic. A guy named James Bay, who's a singer-songwriter, reminded me of kind of a Bruce Springsteen type of thing. I watched him on the Bud Light stage last year. Unbelievable. Bought his album after that. Who was the third
person? That's what it's for, really.
Greta Van Fleet was there. Does that ring a bell?
Yeah. You get to discover lots of acts that you wouldn't bother listening to. Even on Spotify, you wouldn't even bother to click on it on your phone.
Right.
But then when you hear it live...
You're right. Yeah. People are like, you got to go see Greta Van Fleet. Greta Van Fleet, I thought was, this woman playing acoustic guitar. It's a band of 19 and 20-year-olds that sound exactly like Led Zeppelin. So after Lala, they were on SNL, I want to say at the end of September last year, and they just played the rerun last Saturday night.
Oh,
this
cool.
past Saturday. So those are the type of bands. People always say, oh, you're going to Lala, you're an idiot. No, I just love live music, and it's fun. Yeah,
I don't know. It just became... there's plenty of adults that are mature and
we mock what we don't know, right? We mock what we don't know.
Yeah.
I'm not going to go down there and fight those crowds.
Well,
it's not
notorious for the kids that walk around.
And don't get me wrong, there's tons of teenagers. And last year I ran into, not my friend, but a parent at my son's school, and their kid was down there. And I didn't know if I should say hi or anything.
Mm-hmm.
So I just kind of kept walking. I acted like I didn't see the kid. I don't know how to.
Yeah.
That sounds like every interaction with people I went to high school with.
I didn't know what to do. It was very odd. 312-981-7200. We're going to talk some more music here. The top concert performers of 2019, the list came out. And as you can see, or as I'm going to discuss in a second, a lot of these people are over 50. We'll talk about that next on 720WGN.com. This is Greta Van Fleet. I mean, this is Led Zeppelin from 1968. The lead singer, he's probably 20 now. Yes.
Okay, I like the voice. I like the vocals. As soon as you started playing it, I turned to Jay and I said, I don't like this.
What do you mean?
It's just needle.
Here, listen for the chorus. Here's the chorus. This is called When the Curtain Falls. I mean, that is classic Led Zeppelin. This is Greta Van Fleet. And the great thing about seeing this band, they were at Lollapalooza, and I saw them again at the Aragon. You have guys bringing their kids, so you have the young crowd and you have the old crowd. So you got the old men to hang out with.
I love the voice. That's my highlight in that band for you.
I mean, it's good stuff, man. Top concert performers of 2019, number one is Elton John. Elton John. By the way, 6 of the 10 artists are over the age of 55 and 3 are over 70. Elton John is 72.
Have you seen Rocket Man?
I have not.
You have to.
Oh, come on,
that's
Pete.
All I'm going to say.
Guys, I'm trying.
Have you seen Yesterday?
I really, those are the only two movies I wanted to see this summer.
Well, what do? Does someone tie you up when you go home, or why is it you haven't seen them?
Guys, I'm spinning plates. I got a lot going on. This is just one of many jobs for a Pete McMurray, if I can refer to myself in the third person.
We'd rather you didn't.
Yesterday, did you see it?
Yeah, it's great.
Ah.
I didn't even hear about it. Is it new?
It came and went. One, right? Yeah, that's the Beatles one.
See, it's one of those movies if you've seen it, you can't discuss the biggest reason to go see it because it ruins it for other people, and so people aren't going to see it.
I feel like it's going to be on available on demand very, very soon because it came and went in the end of June, so I'm figuring sometime in August we'll see it. How about Rocket Man? Is it gone or is it still
there? No, I think it's still alive and well.
Elton John's making a lot of money at number two, Pink. How do you not love Pink?
How do you love Pink?
I love Pink. Raise your glass.
50-50, I think people either love her or hate her, and I'm a hate her.
JT at number three, top grossing concerts. He's only 38 years old. By the way, Elton John.
James Taylor?
Justin Timberlake.
Oh,
that JT.
JT. James Taylor has got to be over 70. He does. By the way, another great concert, James Taylor at Wrigley Field with Jackson Browne opening for him. That's one of those history-making concerts that you couldn't miss. Metallica at number four, their average age is 55. Fleetwood Mac at number five, 72. Average age.
That one doesn't surprise me at all.
Ed Sheeran, top grossing concerts of 2019. Most are over 55 years old. Ed Sheeran is 28.
Okay.
I thought he was mid-30s. He's only 28.
He looks a bit old, doesn't he?
Wow. Number seven, Kiss, the farewell tour, which has been going on for years. Their average age is 64. At number eight, the top grossing concerts of 2019, Trans-Siberian Orchestra. Coming in at number eight, their average age is 56.
I thought they only did a Christmas show.
Well, think about it. I mean, they start the Christmas shows at the beginning of November, so they're doing probably November, December, and part of January. That's where they make all their money. Wow, they're making bank. They can take summers off. And Bob Seger at number nine, 74 years old. And number 10, Travis Scott, who is 28. By the way, Bob Seger, if you have not seen him in concert, I saw him at the Allstate Arena. And I'm going to go to the United Center. He hasn't missed a beat. Remember years ago when they were talking about his voice? Oh, he lost his voice. He's done forever. No, he sounds exactly the same. He's got a bad back. He's got to sit down, play the guitar during a few songs. But I'm telling you, this is his last tour. You need to go see Bob Seger at the United Center. He brought down the house at the Allstate Arena. Night Moves. I mean, come on. I'm almost tearing up listening to this. It's great stuff.
Aww. Do you like Travis Scott?
I'm fine with it. Yeah. Yeah, I'm okay. Do you like him?
No, I don't. I don't know. I know a lot of people like him. I just can't connect with his music, but anyway.
I don't know any of his songs. What's a big song of his?
Do you want to play one of his songs? Let me take a break and we'll play one coming up next. I got to get these in. It's 720 WGN. That sounds like an old artist. I know it's someone coming to Lollapalooza, but that sounds like
old?
Somebody from the 90s.
Okay, it's, you're hitting. You're, yeah.
Wait, can you
it's
start?
It's a Chicago band.
Well, who is it, first of all?
Do you want to guess, Steve, or do you
No. I'm saying who it sounds like. It sounds like the great Cub fan. He's
the great Cub fan.
It's the Strokes.
It's the Strokes, really?
Yeah, okay. I don't want you to suffer anymore.
I don't really know. Okay, I like it, but listen to that guy's voice. Who does he sound like?
Julian Casablancas.
Is that the
from
lead
the Strokes?
Wow. I mean, as soon as I heard it, it took me right back to, like, 1995. I don't know. What night do they play at Lala, the Strokes?
I think it's Thursday.
So, Pete, the first voice I thought of Pearl Jam. That's what I was trying to think of.
I thought the very beginning. Killers or...
Oh, the Killers.
Yeah. Possibly Muse, but Muse is not 90s, really.
I don't really know any Muse.
The Killers aren't 90s either, are they?
I love that you made a Muse really 2000. reference, though, anyway.
Right. I don't really know any Muse. Yeah.
I bet you if we played a few songs, you would. You would. Supermassive Black Hole is pretty popular.
I feel like Lauren's thinking about going to Lala on Thursday.
Are you, Lauren? I'll see you there.
If I had the money.
We'll hang out, put on some festival gear. There's Lala tickets around this radio station somewhere. Come on. There is.
If you look hard enough.
Mm-hmm. 312-981-7200. We have some food vendors coming in at 2:30 that are going to be at Lollapalooza this week. It's one thing to make food at a restaurant. It's another thing to make food outside and then to take it to another level to cook for a festival of people. You don't really understand how many people are going to be coming to your tent. So how do you balance all of that? Well, and then we'll sample their food when they come in. Who do we have coming in today?
We have Tank Noodle and the Budlong Hot Chicken.
Budlong Hot Chicken.
Mm-hmm.
Sounds fantastic. Tank Noodle is great. I've had it before. Do you guys order out food? How often?
Not often for me.
More often than I should.
Seriously, I mean, I work, my wife works, I got a 14-year-old boy that's always hungry. I feel like I probably order out maybe 4 times a week. All right, 5.
And you have it delivered?
Yes. Have it delivered. Easily 4 times a week, something's delivered to our house.
It's so convenient.
Maybe your son's
in our house once every 3 weeks.
3 weeks?
We might have a pizza delivered, that's it.
What? Are you kidding?
No.
Wow.
I go out with my friends to eat more. I almost never order in, but I go out with my friends a lot.
I mean, you know, it's different being a parent because, you know, you get off work and you're thinking, oh, my God, what am I going to make for dinner? Okay, you order up the food and you meet the delivery guy.
Well, you know, grocery stores have really changed where they have made ready-to-eat sort of meals now, too.
They have, but it's nice to have a pizza.
Yeah.
Or your favorite
restaurant. But they don't deep fry them.
You can order anything in Chicago and have it delivered to your house. I mean, order from any restaurant because everybody delivers now. Everybody. Or has a delivery service, which is great. But... read this article today. There's a new study that might have you thinking twice about ordering food. U.S. Foods came out with research that says, listen to this, 28% of delivery drivers said they couldn't resist the temptation of taking a bite of your food.
Oh, come on.
It's almost like 3 in 10 drivers are eating your food.
Which means definitely has happened to us.
Right.
Well, it also means you're not being poisoned.
Well, yes. But do you want somebody's dirty hands on your pizza grabbing a pepperoni or a french fry or their dirty paws? Think about it.
I'm sure they're clean. If they're stealing food, I'm sure they're clean.
They're going from house to house and they're grabbing food. Well, I mean, I would do it.
Ignorance is bliss, but it could also mean E. coli. So I don't know. I don't know how I feel about this.
I don't feel like delivery drivers are washing their hands.
That's what I worry about.
Yeah.
Especially touching a dirty wheel. You know, they always say that wheels in your car are one of the more dirty items you touch often.
Yeah, but so is your phone, though.
Yeah, phone, money. But so, they handle money a lot, too. That's the problem. They're handling all 3 things a lot.
Right.
Oh, yeah, they're handling cash. That's the dirtiest thing.
Honestly, ignorance is bliss, right?
They're grabbing a pepperoni off your pizza. They're maybe grabbing a carrot out of your hot wings.
Let me ask you this then.
You're grabbing a french fry.
The guy delivers your pizza. He doesn't eat it. You pay in cash.
Yeah.
Do you wash your hands before you eat?
Of course.
You do?
I always wash my hands before I sit down and eat. Yes. All the time. You don't?
No.
I only do if I'm eating with my hands.
What? Really? That's like a rule in the McMurray household. Charlie, you got to wash your hands because you're touching your phone. The last thing you touch is your phone. And your phone is super dirty. So you have to wash your hands before you sit down.
I'm going to lick my phone right now.
keep licking it. Are you a zombie eater, Steve?
I don't know what that means.
Lauren, are you a zombie eater?
I also don't know what that means.
2,000 Americans were surveyed, and they found that almost 90% are zombie eaters. You eat and you watch TV, or you eat and watch your computer, or you eat and watch your phone.
50% of the time, maybe.
I do here.
So you're a zombie eater?
At work, yeah.
Definitely so. Do you eat at your desk?
Me, yeah.
That's the dirtiest place.
I eat between 108 and 112 every day.
The dirtiest place at work is eating at your desk. 90% of people are zombie eaters. Zombie eating is something most of us can relate to. We're busy, we're productive, we have to eat at work, we have to eat on the move. So we're staring at our phones or staring at our computer and we're eating. Almost 90%. That seems high. But think about it. If you're sitting at, if you're grabbing a bite to eat, you walk downstairs, what are you doing? You pull out your phone. Yeah.
You want to know something great that happened to me when I was eating on the street? A bird pooped on my finger, right on my ring.
Oh my gosh. What?
It happened right on my ring.
Uh-huh. All right. 815 area code. Pete, don't feel bad. My family is an order out 3 or more times a week family. And I have a $10 a day lunch habit. Yeah, that's rough stuff.
Ooh, but, that's bad.
But you're busy, man. You know, you don't have time to sit. I love the families that I see. Oh, yeah, we both work and we put together this gourmet meal for our kids and it's low fat and gluten free. It's like I want to punch you in the neck. 312-981-7200. Matt, you're on WGN. What's up?
Didn't that sound like Beck? That was my first thought.
Oh, yes. The Strokes that we just played. It sounds like Beck, doesn't it?
Yes, it does. And I like to hear you on the radio, my friend. I know you always talk about being a Bears season ticket holder.
Yes.
Little tip for you with the season tickets.
Yeah.
But the Budlong chicken sandwich is one of the best values at Soldier Field for a Bears game.
I have to tell you, I never really eat at Soldier Field because my brother Ed throws a tailgate in the south lot, or there's another guy named Ricky Boots who has a legendary tailgate. Before Bear game, so I'm never hungry. I'm just drinking beer during the game.
Well, specifically during that Rams game last year, which was on a Sunday night and it was very cold, that Budlong, and I don't work for Budlong, hear me out here.
Okay.
It warmed me up to the point of where I was freezing cold and that sandwich hit the spot. So
what kind of
thanks
sandwich,
to those guys.
What kind of sandwich is it?
It is a giant... I think it's Memphis-style hot chicken sandwich. Okay. And it's got coleslaw on top of it. It's absolutely delicious.
So you got the hot chicken. Okay, I like it. All right. Thank you, Matt. I'll remember that if I'm ever hungry at Soldier Field. 312-981-7200. Arlene, welcome to WGN. How are you?
Hello, this is Arlene.
I know. Go ahead, Arlene. You're on the radio.
I know Jared Leonard. He owns Budlong Hot Chicken. Spicy like you like it. He's got stores all over Chicago.
Okay.
And he moved to Denver, and he's got stores in Denver, too, and he pops back and forth.
Oh, fantastic.
Awesome.
Okay.
Yes. I just wanted you to know, you have to have it. It's so good. You can find it all over the city.
I feel like we need to try the Budlong Hot Chicken. I love it. Okay. Thank you, Arlene. 312-981-7200 is our phone number. 815 area code. They say the bottom of a woman's purse is the germiest. Of course. Yes. Of course it is. Or a guy's wallet. How about that? Because he's got the cash in the wallet. Yeah. If you want to talk germs, everything. This is why we have an immune system. I used to work with a guy who would walk out of work and he would never touch a door handle. He would, if he didn't have a paper towel with him, he would grab his shirt and grab the door handle to open it up. It's a little extreme, don't you think, Elif?
Yeah, because it's inevitable. Germs are everywhere.
Everywhere.
And we're mostly immune to a lot of them, so...
Right. Street corners, doors. I mean, we go to festivals. especially this weekend at Lala, there's going to be a lot of germs.
Yeah, and I'm going to be showering twice a day, so.
I actually have a vat of rubbing alcohol. I'm just going to dip myself after each day. So I just cleanse myself. Yeah. 312-981-7200 at 720 WGN. 720 WGN. Is this one of the DJ stages? We're going to see the DJ stage at Lala?
No, this is actually Radiohead. This is the song that the guy put his hand on my shoulder.
By the way, Lollapalooza, it's hard to explain this, but they have stages where there's a DJ that just plays music off, you know, off his computer. And all the teenagers do is jump up and down.
Yeah. I can't resonate with that.
312-981-7200 is our phone line, also our text line. 630 area code. We were talking about food. Delivery, almost 3 in 10 delivery drivers will pick at your food. Pete, I wish I could order out more often. My wife is cheap, does not cook well, and she doesn't want to wait for me to cook. Yeah, that's a rough one. We are also talking about germs. 224, I avoid touching the door handle exiting a washroom. Use my elbow or a paper towel. I use a paper towel too. And I take the paper towel, and if there's not a garbage can there, I drop the paper towel like Michael Corleone did in The Godfather Part 1 after he shot the guy at the restaurant and walked out. That's exactly what I do. April, you're on WGN. Hi.
Hi. I'm a teacher, and either you're terrified of germs or you're like, hey, bring it, you know. But there was a teacher that I thought it was her style. She always wore layers, and I thought possibly she was cold. And I know when the kids sat down at her table, she had different groups of kids who came to her room. They had to use hand sanitizer, and she cleaned the table with wipes after they all left. But also, she wore like a crew neck t-shirt every day with a button-up top over top, and I thought that was her style. It wasn't. It turned out that she was taking off that over top with a Walmart bag and tying it up before she got into her car.
You're kidding.
No.
She
was terrified of germs to the point where she was sick all the time because she was always sanitizing too much.
Right.
I washed my hands but you know what? Germs are going to happen, you know.
especially if you're a teacher. So she would take off her top and put it in a bag and carry it home.
The one that was the one that she had over top of the other one.
Oh my gosh, that's a bit extreme. That's a little crazy.
And she didn't touch the top, but I thought it funny because a grocery bag has been touched by lots of people as well. And have been sitting in a dirty box, possibly in a warehouse where there are vermin.
Yep. You're
critters of some sort.
Of critters. I love the term critters. Yes, you're gonna drive yourself crazy. Thank you, April. Appreciate the phone call. 312-981-7200 is our phone number. Bears training camp going on right now. Let's bring in Kevin Powell. Kevin? Hold on a second. Kevin, let me bring up sports. There you are.
Hello, Pete.
How are you, buddy?
I'm great. Football's here.
I heard Adam Hogue today on with Steve at 9:40, and they were talking about the kicking situation. And I just want people to know that there is a reason that these kickers are available. Okay, right now. It's because a team didn't pick them up. So we have to curb our enthusiasm right now, even though one of these may be serviceable. Am I right on that?
Yeah. Yeah, you're right.
Okay. All right. Because people are so high, well, today is Monday, but it's Friday's day.
I mean, are people really that excited?
Yes.
Really? Okay,
yes.
It's been three practices, but all right.
Elliott
Fry was 9 for 10 Saturday. Pinheiro went 7 for 8 yesterday. He also hit a 63-yarder.
That's the guy that hits the 63-er.
Yeah, and
people are like, sign him, he's great.
And Fry hit a 60-yarder on Saturday.
Okay, there's a reason they're trying out in July.
It's true.
Right.
It's a good point.
Okay. And one of the guys used to be a soccer player, right?
Pinheiro, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, he was signed with the Raiders before last year, but then I believe it was a groin injury, basically ended his entire season, and the Bears traded for him. So
got a groin.
Got a groin. Not good if you're a kicker.
Got a groin.
Never,
no, you can't
never,
have that.
Never good to have a groin.
So is it narrowed down to two now?
I think so right now. I mean, for now, unless one of these guys completely falls off the rails here over the next couple weeks. But right now, it looks like this competition's kind of heating up. And both are rising to the challenge. Fry 8 for 10 today in pretty nasty conditions. One of his misses, his foot completely slipped out of from underneath him. It was a 51-yarder. But, I mean, so far, so good. I think some people are kind of annoyed that Nagy continues to kind of talk about it a lot, make it a thing. But
it is a big thing, and he has been doing that. Yes.
Right, and I like that, though. I mean, I think some people have been critical of that. I like the fact that they're not running away from it. They're not ignoring the fact that the kicker position is one that needs to get a whole lot better. Last year, it was a nightmare. So
yeah.
I'm glad that Nagy's kind of approaching it this way.
I don't know.
Put the pressure on the kickers. Put him in the spotlight.
I agree.
Have him kick in front of the team. Put all the pressure you could possibly put on a kicker in training camp.
I agree with that. But there's one thing kicking in Bourbonnais. It's another thing kicking at Soldier Field. And there is a reason that these guys are available in July.
I know.
Okay?
I agree. So
yes.
So how do we approach the kicker situation then, Pete?
No excitement over it whatsoever?
That's
it. We're going to sign one of these guys, and then we're going to move on with the season. Defense wins championships. Read my lips when I say this now. Defense wins championships.
This is so good. This is like that commercial, the Dad's Anonymous.
Yeah.
Kids, defense wins championships.
Defense, I say that to my son all the time. He's like, Dad, I know. You're officially a real dad, Pete.
If you're preaching to your kid that defense wins championships, you are a dad.
Championships. Yes. I've never been to training camp. Is it fun?
Yeah, I like going. I go just about every year. Last year I was down there a few days. Huge crowd so far. I mean, we've talked about it on this show with Rowan. I haven't been this excited for a Bears season probably in my entire life.
You and everybody else.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
So, you know, with your 12-4, huge turnaround, a lot of good vibes, have a ton of talent on the team. There really aren't a ton of holes. I mean, the only real question marks or kind of areas that you're really keeping an eye on are the kicker situation, obviously, and then how much improvement does Mitch Trubisky make this year? So, other than that, can you find a glaring need, a glaring hole on this team?
No.
No, you
I'm
can't.
So
just stay healthy, get out of camp healthy, and play the way we all think you can play, and they'll be right there.
I was at an event with Mitch Trubisky about a month ago. By the way, I'm a great follow on Instagram, at Pete McMurray, and we're standing there, and I'm like, Mitch, I'm going to pull up my phone, and let's have a conversation. So I interviewed Mitch.
Mm-hmm.
And number one, he's a smart guy. Number two, he's very loyal. Talked about his family, talked about his mother, talked about how he wanted to get his degree. He's finishing up his degree right now to make his mother proud. And he talked about his team. It was during OTAs. He just came from a practice at OTAs. And he's like, I'm so excited for the season.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, I like this dude. Just don't throw picks, Mitch.
Yeah, you never heard a bad thing said about him from any of his teammates. They all kind of rally around him. Some of them talk about him unprompted for it. So I think that they look at him as a leader. I think they really like Mitch. His teammates, his coaches.
Yeah.
Now he's got to live up to the hype of a second overall pick. He's got to make some moves this year.
This is his third year?
Third year.
Third year.
Second year in Nagy's system.
How old is he? 24, 25?
Yeah, he left as a junior, so 24, I want to say.
Okay. I mean, they say it takes 3 years for a quarterback to learn the NFL.
Right. There's that. And then the fact that this is only his second year in Nagy's offense. You got to keep that in mind as well. Last year was his first year in a very complicated offense. So now that he's got a full year under his belt, remember his first year? His top receiver was like Josh Bellamy, who's a special teamer. He had nobody.
Josh Bellamy is the worst receiver ever.
He's a good special teamer.
I said it at the time. My mother can catch passes better than him.
Yeah. So consider that first year almost felt like a throwaway year. I mean, he got some reps, but last year felt like a real, okay, now this is the system you're going to learn. Mm-hmm. This is the system you're going to run. You've got Matt Nagy, the offensive-minded coach. So got to make moves this year.
We make that kick. We're in the NFC Championship.
Pete, don't get me started.
I mean, just to let people know, we were in the NFC Championship.
I didn't see you on the sideline. What was your jersey number again?
My jersey number is 63.
Does that bother you, Steve, when people say we as if they're members of the team?
Right.
Yeah.
Was that Noah Jackson's number 63? I got to look that up.
I think that sounds right, yeah.
Okay. All right, just trying to get situated here. Pete McMurray in for John Williams, who's on his way to Paris. I mean, people aren't going to like that. John's on his way to Paris. Courtesy of Steve Bertrand Travel. Is that right, Steve?
Actually, I think he's going with Kelly Cruises on this trip.
Kelly Cruises.
I mean, I'd love to take the credit, but Kelly Cruises.
Kelly Cruises. Yes. Okay. Did he ever get the Global Pass?
Yes, he did. I'm pretty sure he did.
So that's good to go.
Right. I don't know if his wife got it. I think he got it first.
Yeah, that's the thing. I'm trying to get my wife to do it, and she just won't do it. It's like, Sarah, it only takes about 10 minutes, but it's the weirdest experience. But it is. It's so worth it when you come back. All right. Do we have Lala music or no? You just want me to start? Okay. All right. Lollapalooza is happening Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. It's a city within a city, and we were talking before the show today. How do you do the food? There's so many different restaurants. And joining us from Tank Noodle is Nancy May. Thank you for coming in.
Thank you.
It's great to see you.
Thank you for having us.
And Jared Leonard of the Budlong Hot Chicken, which people have been talking up for the last half hour.
Cool. Thanks for having me.
This is how many years for you, Jared?
It's our second year, but the first year doing it on our own.
Okay. And Nancy, how about you?
We've been our 5 years.
5 years.
Yes.
At Lala.
Yes.
Do you have your festival wear ready to go?
Yes, we are getting it all ready right now.
I think you're supposed to wear a vintage basketball jersey and put your hair in a man bun, is what I've seen.
Oh, do not wear a basketball jersey.
No, I'm not going to wear any of that stuff.
What do you guys wear? Because it's
a t-shirt that says the Budlong Hot Chicken on it.
We have a t-shirt as well, but our front people will have like an Asian hat.
Cool. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. I like that. It's
well, cool. I'm going to get something cool now. You guys have custom stuff. I'm going to get a chicken suit.
A chicken suit?
Yeah.
Where are you located? Because I never know where the food is when I'm at Lala. I know where the beer is. But
we'll be located at Chowtown North.
What is that? Where is Chowtown? Is that by the north stage?
Somewhere between Grant Park and Millennium Park. It's huge. The festival
grounds
are massive.
We're off of Grant Park near Van Buren.
Grant Park and Van Buren.
Yes.
Okay, I'll remember that when I'm half in the bag. Okay. All right, Jared, how about you?
We're in Chowtown, I don't know, booth 32.
So Chowtown is like it's like a food hall.
Yes.
Is that what you're saying? But it's
correct.
Outside.
But there's what, like three or four different Chowtowns?
Yeah, there's a north side and then there's a south side.
Okay.
Right. Cubs and Sox.
Yes.
All right.
We're on the north side.
It's hard to... I've been to Lala probably four... This will be my fourth year, so the last 3 years.
Nice.
And I still don't know where everything is.
No.
And trying to explain it on the radio, I tried to explain it. Imagine a football field,
yeah.
And you have a stage in the north end zone and the south end zone.
Yes.
And then you have tons of stages on the yard lines.
Correct.
So that's it.
It would be like at the 30-yard line.
Right.
I don't know. When I went to Lollapalooza 20 years ago... It was like five bands, and it was one day, and it was like $20.
And
this
now,
is different. Now it's, 4 days. It's really cool to see how much it's grown, because they toured around the country initially, but I think this is the last big U.S. show. I mean, I know they go all over the world now. I saw them in Brazil.
Yep,
You know, but Chicago's Lollapalooza, I think, is, I don't know, someone from Lala should be here, but I feel like it's the biggest Lollapalooza in
America.
Is it
the last big one before everybody goes back to school?
Yeah.
Sure, okay.
Okay, mm-hmm. Yeah, the last
biggest
festival.
Chicago so far. Yeah,
it's,
about 100,000 people daily should be there.
It's a town within a town.
Yeah.
So here's my question. It's one thing to have a restaurant, another thing to have food at a festival, but it's another thing to cook at Lollapalooza.
Yeah.
Nancy, how do you do it?
Oh, we get so hot, but it's fun. We have our fryers, we have our grillers, and then, our tent goes about like 20 degrees hotter, right? So this year we're cool, or the weather's not that hot.
Yeah,
so
which is
I'm
nice.
Actually looking forward to it, to be honest.
How many fryers do you guys have?
We have about four fryers.
Okay. We're doing eight.
How do you know how much food to bring every day? Because you can't bring it. I mean, I'm sure you got the food trucks, but how much can you bring down?
Well, they're doing deliveries every day. So, you know, the weather looks beautiful right now, 79 and sunny. So we've got three drops right now, a Wednesday drop, because we have a whole day to prep. Thursday and then Friday drops, but we can get more food over the weekend. So the approach we're taking is get as much food drop the first couple of days, and if it looks like it's slowing down, you don't get a third drop, and if it's busier than expected, you bring more. But I mean, this is all on site, and I'm sure yours too, scratch cooked on site, because that much food you can't prepare. Even if you wanted to take a shortcut, you can't prepare it off site and bring that volume down. So we've got refrigerated trucks behind the tents, and we're, you know, bread and chicken and frying chicken and just kind of try to keep up with it, and it'll be fun.
How many people do you have working there?
20 people a day, plus me, plus like 20 people plus a couple key management staff every day.
That's a lot.
Eight POS, eight point of sale.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, it's
same.
A...
Yeah, we have an eight
You're the same thing, Nancy?
Yeah, like we 30, did... a team of 30.
We did Square Roots Music Festival 3 weeks ago up in Lincoln Square, which is not Lollapalooza.
Right.
Great festival. Great yep. local neighborhood festival. But just to compare, we had like six or seven people, and we were all hanging out. It was
well, that's much
easy,
smaller.
You know,
and yeah.
Like three friars. And
yes.
The neighborhood festivals are different. This is definitely the biggest one.
What's the biggest problem at Lolla? Is it the drunk people? Is it...
when it rains.
Yeah, that's a good answer. That is the perfect answer. That's the biggest
They've had
enemy.
To evacuate. It wasn't last year, but
2 years ago.
We did.
Yeah. There was like a lightning for like a second, and then they told us to shut down. But
so where do you go? What are you doing?
They designated an emergency spot for us.
Okay.
So we'll just have our team go there. It's like basically going under the bridge.
We're on a group text.
Exactly
the
same.
We're on a group text. Group me.
Yes.
Really?
Yeah, so they're going to text us and tell us what to do if there's an emergency. So that's very... Now, I think...
You think they'd have a better system.
I'll tell you. I'm sure they do. It's Lollapalooza organizers. C3 produces the event, and it's just some of the best organization that I've seen as far as festivals go. They're really good at communication. They've thought of everything. Even down to that they've started setting up a week ahead of time now.
Right.
You know, because a lot of these festivals are in the street and they can't set up because they're closing roads, right?
Yeah,
so
yeah.
Neighborhood Fest, they don't set up till the day of, and it's always, I can't say this word on the air, but it's a cluster.
Yeah, it is. It's a mess. But you're right. They closed down Columbus, and that's where the entrance is. That's where everybody's walking, right down Columbus.
But they're already doing a ton of ulterior, like, setup, like the signs up. I ran by it this morning when I was running, and the fences are up, and there's a lot of infrastructure that's already up.
They're working.
Before
round the clock. Think about the stages that they have to put up.
It's like a skyscraper. I live in Colorado right now, and the stage here is bigger than most of the buildings in downtown Denver. The stage for Lollapalooza Chicago.
Yes. And just to explain to people, you mentioned C3. There's three Charlies. By the way, Perry Farrell started this.
Right.
And then he sold it, or the three C's partnered with Perry. The three Charlies. I only know Charlie Jones. I don't know the other two Charlies, but Charlie Jones spends a lot of time in Chicago. And then the C3s sold it to Live Nation, so they have a split.
Oh, okay.
That's why they expanded all over the world. Okay, so Live Nation has a piece of it, too.
Got it. Okay.
Yeah.
I didn't know all that.
But the three C's, Charlie, they were from Austin, but they love Chicago so much, that's why they bring it back here every single year.
They're a good team.
Yeah.
Is this the biggest Lollapalooza?
I'm sure it is.
It seems
it's gotta
like,
be.
How could it get any bigger?
Right.
You know?
Sure. I mean, you're asking the wrong guy. I just show up,
daily.
I have a beer,
it's
and, you know, listen to some music. I'm going to take a quick break, and we're going to bring everybody in the studio, like Lauren and Kevin and Elif, so they can sample the food, and you can tell us what kind of food that you're going to be serving at Lolla and what you brought in today.
Cool.
Okay. Nancy May is here from Tank Noodle. What's your website?
I think it's Tank Noodle. I'm not sure.
What? I think it's Tank Noodle. Okay.
More importantly, what's the Instagram handle?
Yes. Where are you on Instagram?
It's Tank Noodle.
Tank Noodle. Go. Jared Leonard?
TheBudLong.com.
TheBudLong.com.
The Budlong Instagram.
Tank-noodle.com is your website. There you go. Little help. Let's feel that I get free noodles this weekend.
Yes.
Thank you for that.
Thank you so much.
It's 720 WGN. May I have this dance? Can I say something crazy? Is this Peter Gabriel?
No. What?
I'm telling you, all the artists at Lollapalooza sound like somebody. Who do we play?
I can hear that, though.
We played the Strokes earlier, and I got a text, and it sounded like Jacob Dylan. Some guy reminded me from 1995. That's why I thought the 90s. Who was this?
Francis and the Lights.
Okay. Did you guys know that? Francis and the Lights?
No,
I didn't think anybody brought guitars to this festival anymore. I thought it was all just the digital people.
Techno? Yeah. Yeah, that sounded like Peter Gabriel. See, everybody has a sound. Mm-hmm. Or am I just getting old because everything sounds like old artists?
I've just been too polite. I think that's probably the
case.
Okay,
all right. Will you come in the studio now and sample some of this Lolla food?
Sure.
Will you please?
Sure.
Nancy May is here from Tank Noodle and Jared Leonard of the Budlong Hot Chicken. By the way, what's the story with Budlong? That's got to be a Chicago thing.
Yeah, so the Budlong family, they were the biggest farming family in Chicago in the later part of the 19th century. They grew cucumbers and beets because the soil is very sandy around here. Like Michigan shoreline used to come up all the way to like Clark Street. So
really?
They grew cucumbers and beets in the Lincoln Square neighborhood into what now is like the Budlong Woods neighborhood. And Lyman Budlong and Joseph Budlong had a pickle store, and they sold pickled vegetables in the store. And our first store was in Lincoln Square. First planned store, third to actually open, but construction delays, etc. So it's a part geography of the original location and the fact that we make our own pickles, which are delicious, which I have some today.
Wow.
So we do the style of chicken we serve is called Nashville hot, and you always put pickles on top of Nashville hot chicken.
Okay.
Kind of like eating celery with buffalo wings. It cools down the heat.
It does. So, I never knew that.
Yeah.
So if I ordered the hot chicken, I got to get the pickles on it.
And it comes with it, yep.
That's interesting because back in the day, that's how people preserved food.
Mm-hmm.
They never wasted anything. They would pickle everything. My grandmother used to pickle everything.
Oh, yeah. We canned and pickled and made... Gosh. We did it. We were poor. We weren't cool. We were just, you know, we pickled vegetables and made canned tomatoes.
Tons of vegetables, pickled green tomatoes. Uh-huh. How about pickled turnips?
Yeah.
That was a McMurray thing with beets.
Or in the South, they do pickled watermelon... rinds. So talk about not wasting. They take the rind of the watermelon that you don't eat and they pickle it. It's delicious, actually.
All right. Nancy, you are passing out the noodles. What are you passing out?
So what I have over here is our lemongrass steak and tofu. And you can have the options of putting it over noodles or have it in our sandwich.
Okay.
Oh my gosh, the noodles are so good.
Lauren's eating like she's going to the electric chair.
I am.
Wow. You didn't even wait.
I didn't even put the sauce on it. It's that good.
And then our
best seller for our fest is the sriracha fries with our roasted chicken.
Because you can walk and eat at the same time with the fries.
And this is only exclusive for Lollapalooza. We don't have this at our restaurant. We only serve this at our fest.
How do you come up with something like that for the festival?
Thanks to Gwen. She came up with this. She wanted something more edge from our restaurant with a little bit of a street food.
So are they using with the noodles? Are they using chopsticks? Or are they using a fork? Or they have the...
Both.
Okay. They can do whatever they want.
Forks, but we also can give you chopsticks too.
I like that.
Yeah. I only saw a spoon and chopsticks, but I needed to practice anyways. It's been a while. But I still got it. I'm happy to see.
I wish, guys. See, you weigh about 72 pounds and you're eating like a linebacker. Man.
Yeah. Okay. It's got to go somewhere.
Got it. All right. How are the tank noodles?
So good. We also have our mama's egg rolls as well. So pretty much we're serving everything that Vietnamese do for street food here at Lollapalooza.
All right. Where is Tank Noodle? Is it a franchise or is it
originally
here?
It's a family owned.
Okay.
We've been in existence since 1993.
1993?
Yes.
That's a long time.
It is a long time.
Yeah.
And we're located uptown off of Argyle and Broadway.
I've been there. It's very good.
It's a great cornered restaurant. You got like a great view of the streets. And you have a patio too, so.
Right, definitely so.
Anyone going to Lollapalooza definitely has to get the fries if they're not at the restaurant because that is delicious. I'm a big fan of spicy, so it's not too spicy, but you got that nice after flavor.
It has a nice kick to it with the seasoning and then the sriracha mayo. And then this year we're doing the broaster chicken. So last year we used to just do like fried chicken. This year is like a different type. So we're experiencing.
Is it all grab and go, or do people sit down and eat?
It's basically grab and go.
Okay.
Yeah. You see them line up on the street eating, right? So it's kind of cool. There's no tables or anything. Everyone's just sitting on the grass.
Well, they had a few picnic tables last year, but people just sit on the curb and eat.
Correct.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anywhere. Get the food, sit down.
It is. I love the live music, but I forgot the people watching is just as good.
It's great.
Yeah.
It's so fun.
It's crazy. And I did see a parent at my son's school. I saw their kid, and I'm like, oh, my God, I can't be seen here. I don't want
anybody. There's a young age. It's from, like, what, 16 and up?
Okay.
So we have a lot of
16, teams, I think there's...
15? No, there's younger.
There's younger ones there.
High school age are coming out.
And what a great idea coming up with Kids Lollapalooza, Kid Palooza on Sunday mornings.
Yes.
I think it's every day now.
Is it really?
Yeah, I think Kidapalooza is every day.
So parents can bring their young kids.
Under 10, they're allowed free in the fest. And I noticed they've got like a feeding area and changing area. So I'm picturing these like hippie type people bringing their babies, their infants to Lollapalooza, which I think is cool.
Are.
I mean,
but that's a lot of work to go down to Grant Park with a baby.
So I'm bringing my 7 and 9 year old, and they're going to be okay. There's a stage where they teach you how to DJ, and my 9 year old daughter's obsessed with learning how to DJ.
What?
Uh huh.
Fun.
And I wish I remembered the name of them. There's a group
there.
How do
they have a stage to teach kids how to DJ?
It's that kind of place, you know, where they're trying to make it inclusive for families and everyone.
Okay.
So they've got a DJ training set up, and then they've got somebody that teaches like lyrical hip hop type of, you know, being
That's
an MC.
Cool. Start them young.
Yeah,
and music is the way to go.
It's
music
super cool.
is life.
You get them going to the festival too. It's like, oh, it's a tradition now. We got to go to Lollapalooza as a family.
Right. Keep them in. Well, under 10, they're free. As they get older, that becomes thousands of dollars for the six of you to go, right?
Oh, man. My son wanted to go this year. He's 14.
Okay.
And thankfully, he's away at camp this week, so I don't have to make that decision.
Okay. How much is a wristband? Does anybody know?
I think like 4 days is like over $400.
Yeah.
Where do you get $400 from?
I don't know.
It's like a 15-year-old kid. You get it from
their parents. Yeah.
Chores.
Yeah.
Sure, that's a lot of chores.
They're all
a lot of chores.
They're all those teenagers that are hopped up on Molly, man. Come on.
Oh, no.
What? How can they afford the Molly and the tickets?
I don't know. There's always some guy that has the drugs, right?
Oh, my gosh.
The drugs. Yeah. Stay away from him, kids, if you're listening right now. Please. You want to stay away from that. Can I try I don't want the too hot chicken.
Okay. You want just the classic? We call that enjoyably spicy.
Right. Sorry, but I bit one end, so I tore it in half.
Okay. That's all right. How was it?
It was really good. I like the spices a lot. It's kind of moist on the inside, like not in a bad way, in a good way. It's got like some sauce in there in between the breading and the chicken itself.
All right. Lauren, have you tried it?
I haven't, but I've been staring at it longingly.
She keeps eating the same pot. And
it's really good.
I put the egg rolls in front of her face.
I did eat the egg rolls too. Also phenomenal, but I just love the noodles. I don't know why. The noodles in general.
It's refreshing.
Yes.
When it's hot outside and like you kind of want something that fried, like the noodles is the best way to go.
That's what it is. It's it's nice and cool to the tongue. Mm-hmm.
So these are grab and go too.
Yep.
You gotta try a Budlong pickle after the chicken.
I gotta get in there. I'm getting hungry. Listen to this.
The Budlong chicken and the pickle. Why the pickle again?
It just kind of cools things down after you have that spicy fried chicken.
It's not spicy at all.
Well, it's gonna get there. It'll build for a second, and it'll come in.
Oh yeah.
It's not meant to burn your face off. It's just meant to kind of have a slow build heat.
Which one is spicy?
Mm. These are super.
These are bread and butter pickles.
Well, they're kind of a hybrid pickle, so they're brined in apple cider vinegar, so there's a little sweetness to them, but...
Wow. This is great. I mean...
Great stuff.
Tell everybody where you're located again, where you're going to be at Lollapalooza.
I am going to be at Chowtown North, Booth 11.
Booth 11, and where are you located in real life?
Uptown on Argyle and Broadway.
And Jared, how about you with the Budlong chicken?
We're in booth number 32. I don't know which Chowtown that is. Okay. But...
It sounds like South.
Okay, there we go.
We
south.
The North and South.
32, I'll remember that. Neil 32. Anderson's number. What's your...
11.
11. Who was number 11? I don't have to think about
that. 1 + 1 = 11. That's the new joke in my house for the kids.
All right. I like that.
Yeah, right. So, and then in real life, we're in Revival Food Hall. We're in the Merchandise Mart. We are in Hyde Park on 53rd Street, Lincoln Square, Lincoln Park on Armitage. And Denver, if you ever want to visit the Rocky Mountains.
I like Denver.
Denver's cool.
Nice. Yeah.
Who moved to Denver to open up a place?
I did.
You did?
Yeah, so I started the Budlongs here, and then I actually moved out there to open a smoked meat restaurant that's now closed, but we decided to stay for a while, so we started opening another restaurants there, so we've got a barbecue joint there and a Budlong there, and... You know, we're doing a pizza place coming up called Grabowski's Pizzeria, Chicago-style pizzeria.
Of course you are!
Grabowski's.
I have your number. You need to come back for that one.
Absolutely. We'll be open in about a month.
Nancy Mai of Tank Noodle and Jared Leonard of Budlong Hot Chicken. I'll see you guys at Lala. Thank you for coming in.
Sounds good.
It's really nice to meet you. It's 720 WGN. All right. That does it for me. I'll be back here tomorrow. Ro and Anna are coming up next. And I think you guys were talking to, Kevin, I think you guys were talking to Rocky on Friday, and I couldn't get your attention, but, Ro kind of gave me a look out of the corner of his eye.
Oh, you were there?
Yes.
Oh.
I did a quick drive-by to say hello, and then I had to get going.
Gotcha. Sorry I missed you.
That's okay.
It was a great time.
But I did a double take because you had a suit jacket on.
I did?
Yeah. Were you wearing an ascot?
No, I wasn't wearing an ascot.
Are you sure about that?
Yeah, I mean, it was about as basic as you can get, a white shirt and a gray jacket.
I wanted to make sure.
You got to class it up for the Blackhawks,
Pete. Well, maybe next time the ascot, you could bring that in.
I'll try it. I'll give it a whirl, if you say so, Pete.
Right. Did you guys notice, by the way, that Andrew Shaw brought a birthday cake over to me for my birthday from the Blackhawks? Cool. I thought that was a very cool moment. And we're so excited he's back with the Hawks, so amazing.
Yes.
Coming up on the show, Pete, since you asked, we're going to be talking to the new, we're going to talk about the new gator that was it or was it not pulled out of the Humboldt Park Lagoon.
Second chance?
Chance 2.0, whatever you want to call it. We've got police say there are some inconsistencies in the stories of the men who pulled this thing. Yes, exactly.
Let me just tell you something. This is not Chance 2.0.
No.
Yeah. This isn't. These guys never had a chance.
Yeah. This is a shorty alligator, by the way. It's only 3 foot. Chance was 5.
Yeah, not related. Not a big. The whole thing's a scam, as far as I'm concerned.
It is.
And we can see through these things in Chicago, okay? Mm-hmm. So we know.
Yeah, we know from scams. We pull them just to get to work every day.
Right. We do.
Have a great show.
Thank you.
Bye, guys.